if you had conspired with someone in your house and done this whole thing and said, I really wish I had a coffee fairy when I, you know, when I said, like, I'd like a coffee right now. And being, and then that someone had just handed
hand
you coffee
enters
from off frame, I would have collapsed. Heart would have just given out.
It would have been extra bonus if I would have coordinated with somebody in your household to suddenly show up and bring you coffee. I should text Crystal right now. Hold on. BRB.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Parks and Rewatch. I'm your host, Joe.
And I'm Joy.
And today, let's see if I can get this right, we are diving into Season 6, Episode 3, the Pawnee Eagleton Tip-Off Classic.
So many hyphens.
There are a lot of hyphens in that title.
Two hyphens. All right, episode of the day, plot synopsis. I feel like this is a little bit of a liturgy. And so there is a part together that we will say together. So Joe, if you will join me on the all caps sections.
Yes, although thanks to Zoom syncing, it will not sound in unison.
It's fine. We are fine. The tables have turned. Eagleton's money stores have been burned, but we can't talk about it much, and we must brunch munch. And together we cry, erase all pictures of Ron. Are you going to sit there? Do you even care? Play along in order to please me. From gut reactions, you shall not flee. And together we cry, erase all pictures of Ron.
Erase all pictures of Ron.
This is our battle cry.
I enjoyed that. Responsive reading.
There you go. There you go. I just follow the inspiration of the moment. You started with episode behind the scenes and trivia.
I did.
I was in the middle of research and like watching through the episode. And then I came back over to our notes and I was like, oh my gosh, there's stuff there. What just happened?
I didn't necessarily intend to, but my first behind the scenes trivia fact came about because I noticed only a few minutes into rewatching this episode that something just felt weird. Something just felt off to me. And it didn't take me long to realize it's all the product placement. Did you notice that?
Ish.
They are pushing Windows 8 Surface tablets and Nokia Lumia phones hard in this episode.
Yeah, the tablet was pretty awkward.
It's a little jarring, and everybody has a Nokia Lumia phone.
Very. Oh, is that kind of what the Grizzle phone ends up being based on?
I don't know about that, but it is just very obvious. Everyone's kind of holding their phones out, you know, unnaturally. And yeah, it just got a little bit immersion breaking for me.
I'll take it.
As a bonus, someone with the screen name Grape Eyes, who commented on a website talking about this, said,
does that mean they're purple? Does that mean they are bulbous? Does that mean they are
I'm
clustered?
I'm just assuming they're actually grapes. Like,
okay,
this person
great.
Somehow
peeled?
Actually.
Are they peeled grapes?
No, that would be horrifying. But they said Nokia and Microsoft will rule the mobile world. You can't stop it. The platform will get better and better, while the platform for Android and Apple will become outdated and boring.
Wow.
In 10 years' time, we will treat Apple and Android phones like we treat music cassettes. Exactly.
Right. Yep.
I found that fun because this comment was posted 9 years ago in 2013. So I'm going to go out on a limb and say that Grape Eyes is not much of a Nostradamus. I think that prediction fell a wee bit flat.
You are so funny.
And then we have the JJ's Diner Wall of Fame.
I love that you did this. I'm just going to state that off the top. Carry on.
Yes, I had the thought while I was doing this that I think this might have been the most Joy thing I've ever done. But I just got curious when I saw the bulletin board on the wall, and right. It took me probably about 10 minutes at least. I had to keep stopping, starting, rewinding, trying to get several different angles, but I succeeded, and I successfully listed everyone who is pictured on the board.
I am so proud of you.
And it was kind of interesting in the end. So first up, we have Scott Buchwald, achievement unknown.
Various accomplishments.
Various accolades.
There it is, accolades.
And then man, most eggs.
I wonder who that is. There's not enough information.
And then Brian Sikombe, most hash browns.
What if it's Sikombe?
Sikombe.
What?
I don't know. It's a weird name. And then Stacy S, most pickles.
Yes, it was incorrectly spelled.
It was.
P-I-C-K-E-L-S.
I love that. And then Lorenzo, no last name, most pancakes.
Yep.
And then Kim Wanup, most pie, parentheses, pumpkin.
Kim Wanup pie. Wanna pie? Wanna pumpkin pie?
And then this is where it got a little interesting for me, because there's a picture of an unnamed man who has the achievement of most ribs, but his picture is the same as Scott Buchwald. It's Scott Buchwald's picture twice. The first time we get the picture and the name Scott Buchwald, but there is no achievement listed. The second time there's the picture, no name, but the achievement, most ribs.
Is that the guy that had like four or five plates of food in front of him?
Maybe. I remember him having like a blazer and a red shirt.
Eh.
Or something. And then Willie Dawkins, no listed achievement.
Various accolades.
And then this one got interesting again. We have Ian Phillips for most coffee.
That sounds like a horrible thing.
And then Ian Phillip Jr., most cookies.
Plural and singular. Relation? Question mark? I think not.
And then we have Chris Lachese.
They're into the two C's right now.
I know.
Chris. Luke Cheese.
Lachese. Let's just say, his achievement, most hamburgers.
That sounds great and awful.
And then we have Jordan Lerpus. We have a Lerpus on the board.
Lerpus?
But then it got a little confusing because his achievement, also most ribs. So who has actually eaten the most ribs? Is it Scott Buchwald or is it Jordan Lerpus?
That's a great question. I wonder if Scott Buchwald put himself on the board.
Like, he's so envious of Jordan that he
right.
just sneaks over by the board when JJ is not looking and adds his own Polaroid.
The same one twice. Because yeah. you can duplicate that? Question mark?
Apparently. I accept that. I accept that.
Well...
And then I just noted to myself, this is probably the most joy thing that I've ever done.
I'm so proud of you right now.
And then I also noticed one time when I was freezing the frame, on the wall at JJ's is a picture of a children's baseball team that is labeled underneath the picture Pawnee Slammers. But in the picture, the team is surrounding a banner that says St. Francis Tigers.
Yeah. Yeah, it's one of those, like, you say, my name is Joy, but it's spelled St. Francis Tigers.
My name's Joy.
Obviously.
It's spelled S-T period F-R.
Obviously, right? It's the only explanation.
Yes, the only possible explanation.
Okay. IMDb had a couple things to say. And it's not even morning, and I'm already party fouling because for some reason, I just really want to yawn, and I'm trying so hard not to, and I'm so sorry. So, IMDb. During the Pawnee-Eagleton tip-off game, Leslie makes a statement about how the Eagleton players could not be in high school. The tall basketball player who dunks on Pawnee is the Miami Heat basketball player Chris Bosch.
I didn't actually know that. That's amazing. And I'm better at French horn, too.
Eric. Just like the personalization of adding Eric. Yeah.
So good.
The outside view of the building that Ben, Leslie, and Chris go to in Eagleton is the actual City Hall in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Ooh.
Mmm. The restaurant. This is a struggle. Why am I yawning? This is very interesting to me.
It's the body, can you please play along? Sounds of my voice.
And ladies and gentlemen, it's Joe and Joy in the mid-afternoon. Yep. The restaurant where Ron takes down his picture for most eggs eaten, which, why wouldn't they just say JJ's, contains a picture of former Vice President Don Quayle. So that's interesting. Tom sends Donna a Snapchat, but Donna is using a Windows phone, and Windows phone has never had a Snapchat app. Also, Tom is using a Windows tablet when Ron records his Vine, and the desktop version of Windows has never had a Vine app.
Mm-hmm.
Cute, though.
Both things I stumbled across when I was researching the product placement, and I can't help but wonder if that's one reason why, contrary to Grape Eye's prediction, the Nokia Lumia phone featuring a Windows 8 OS did not, in fact, become a rival of Apple.
Just the phrase Windows 8 OS strikes fear in my heart.
Yes, yeah, very much so.
Okay, before I start getting anxious, let's move on to some dives.
Indeed.
Up top, we're going to talk about Ingrid DeForest, Gauche, hashtag quest for coffee, and eggs. And then in the booths, we're going to talk about comparing apples and oranges. Swarovski Crystal. Wow. Chris, it's like Crisco Crystal.
Swarovski Crisco. That sounds like a Tom invention.
It's like all of the byproducts. Hey, you need some Swarovski Crisco? Glitter Crisco is what you call it for short. Organic baby blankets and bottled water pools. Blah. So let's talk about Ingrid DeForest, an awful human being. Parksandrecreation.fandom.com said that Ingrid referred to having studied opera at Sorbonne and received a PhD from the same institution. She didn't specify what her doctorate was in, but acknowledged that there was a fashion component, which I'm just going to skip around a little bit. So I did look into Sorbonne. Because she apparently has a PhD, whatever. So the Sorbonne is probably Sorbonne, if Marie, you can tell me if I'm wrong later, is a building in the Latin Quarter of Paris, which from 1253 onwards housed, 1253, that's not the street address, that's the year, 1253, you know what, it's fine, I'm fine, everything's fine. Housed the College of Sorbonne, part of one of the first universities in the Western world, later renamed the University of Paris and commonly known as the Sorbonne. Today, it continues to house the successor universities of the University of Paris. There's a lot of them. And it's now, yeah, you're cute. You're cute.
I don't blame you at all for
I'm
not wanting
all
to tackle
of them.
That list of names.
Maybe someday I will learn just enough French to pronounce these well. So I looked on their website. I dug into it. There was no doctorate on there that would have either had opera, which I think comes up in a later episode, or fashion. So cute, though, Ingrid. Cute. Okay. This is interesting. Leslie's comment that Ingrid had won the Miss Indiana pageant while pregnant raises a question as to which competition Ingrid had won, as the Miss America organization does not allow women who are currently pregnant or have ever been pregnant, that's an issue, to participate. It also prompts the question of whether or not Ingrid is married or has been in the past. Fascinating. Reddit brought up a great point that it feels like Lindsay Carlisle Shea and Ingrid DeForest could almost be the same character.
Mm.
So this was somebody's post. I'm rewatching for the millionth time, and I'm currently watching Eagleton from season 3, where Lindsay Carlisle Shea first appears, and I've always wondered why these characters weren't the same person. They share most of the same qualities, both have history with Leslie, both from Eagleton, both have a past with Pawnee. So I just wonder if maybe Parker Posey wasn't able to return, or Mike Schur just wanted to write a role for Kristen Bell. Maybe there's no reason at all. Am I the only one who's thought this?
Hmm. I think that's an astute observation.
I think so, too. And to reach across the Sure universe into the good place, somebody else on Reddit said, Ingrid DeForest is the Pawnee Tahini. Tahani, I'm sorry. It's not tahini, is it spice? Wow, I am struggle busing, looking outside and it's like foggy and gray and I blame the weather. It's fine. Ingrid DeForest is the Pawnee Tahani. That rhymes. I hadn't said it out loud. Pawnee Tahani. After they merged towns with Eagleton, and then somebody named Cerulean Ruin said, Pawnee Tahani, new band name, I call it. Woo! So let's talk about gauche. They don't like to talk about money in Eagleton. They find it a little gauche, which is an adjective meaning lacking ease or grace, unsophisticated, and socially awkward. The example sentence is a shy and gauche teenager.
How do you feel about the word gauche?
It feels gauche.
Mm-hmm. Like, scale of 1 to 10, how likely are you to incorporate gauche into your regular speech?
3. Okay. The only reason I would incorporate it would be for kicks and giggles.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I'm not going to add gauche to my amuse-bouche of vocabulary.
Oh! Well done.
Thank you so much. How about you?
I think it'd be hard to take myself seriously if I was the type of person who said gauche on the reg.
On the reg?
Speech is so fascinating.
I'll talk to you.
I'll talk to you. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if there's some sort of like Venn diagram or something, but I just feel like being the type of person who enjoys the comedy of John Ralphio so much,
yeah,
using the being able to pull off the word gauche is just not in the cards for me.
Yeah, it's fine. Me either. But there's hope for us still. There's hope. All right, up next, hashtag quest for coffee is blowing up Tom's feed. So, of course, I naturally went to Twitter and looked up the hashtag quest for coffee. And here are some notable contributions. December 10th, 2010, Rebecca Emily Darling at Rococo Vintage. Rococo? Yep. Said, stumble, grumble, stumble, hashtag quest for coffee.
I feel like that's a very accurate, honest window to her soul at the moment.
Yeah. Yeah. I resonate with that right now. Mm-hmm. Thank you for your contribution to the world, Rebecca Emily Darling. Mm-hmm. Michael Wilson, in May 9th of 2011, said, when did configuring Radius servers become my primary function in life? I'd rather be playing with my new Spectrum XT. Meh. Hashtag quest for coffee.
I can't relate to this one at all.
I just put it in because I'm like, excuse me, what? How does that relate to a quest for coffee? I'm so confused. Servers, coffee don't go together. That means sizzle pop over. So anyways, so this one was fun. Somebody, Aaron Robinson, on December 21st, 2016 said, it's 5 a.m. hashtag quest for coffee, and put the the gif of Donna looking at the camera and being like, huh? With her smile. And it made me so happy. And then on October 3rd, 2013, Jim O'Hare posted, wet for coffee, hashtag parks and rec, hashtag Donna looking goof, which Retta responded to and said, Jim O'Hare, it was quest for coffee, LOL, which I think is hilarious.
I and have then, to wonder if he's trolling, like if he knew what he was doing when he said wet instead of quest. And
oh,
then
I sure hope so.
It looked like he meant to hashtag Donald looking good.
Right.
But he changed the F. Like, I wonder if he's almost playing the character of Jerry on Twitter.
Oh, I hope so. Two people responded. Ashley Lamond said, damn it, Jerry. And then somebody else posted, way to go, Jerry. Which makes me laugh. Somebody said, Jenny Milward said, before setting out on my hashtag quest for coffee tomorrow, I will be entering into a sacred ritual consisting of a hot shower, clean bed, snooze and clean. I clean togs. What are togs?
I think it's a. Okay, I'm just going on a limb here, but I think it's a British slang term that means clothes.
Ah, fantastic. I mean, plate armor in the morning. Only then might I prove worthy. The quest continues. And then it was a gif of like a armored person dancing. Super cute. So there's that.
That kind of makes me think of when it's all said and done is the joke about the person writing Spartacus, like giving the name Spartacus for their Starbucks order. Have you heard that one?
No.
Because they, you know, when they ask for your name at Starbucks, apparently right. This person gives the name Spartacus. Mm. And then they call out Spartacus when the order is ready, and people all over the Starbucks start standing up and going, "I'm Spartacus. No, I'm Spartacus. No, I'm Spartacus." And as a history buff, I love that joke.
Yes. I don't get it, but that's fine. All right, egg eating champions. Before long, Ron had eaten 51 eggs in 20 minutes, and the last 10 were still in the shell. Are we surprised? There is a food eating record for the most eggs. And it is gross. Prepare yourself. From October 5th, 2013, from WDRB.com, Radcliffe, Kentucky, from WDRB. They're the world's best eaters, and on Sunday, they feasted on hard-boiled eggs. WDRB photojournalist Lee Athernon stopped by the Radcliffe Fall Festival, where hundreds gathered to see a new world record. The previous world record, held by Sonia, the Black Widow, Thomas, was set in 2003 with 65 eggs in 6 minutes and 40 seconds. In the first ever World Hard-Boiled Egg Eating Championship, Joey Chestnut devoured the world record with 141 eggs in 8 minutes. Mickey Sudo broke the women's world record with 104 eggs. Radcliffe native Nick Holman finished with 24 eggs. Wah, wah. Chestnut, the top eater in Major League Eating, took home the grand prize of $1,500. This has been WDRB News. I'm Joy Bork. You're welcome. How do you feel?
That just seems really gross. I feel like if you... Okay, I understand, I guess, for simplicity's sake and keeping track of the score, why you would choose hard-boiled over all the other ways you can cook eggs. Because it's easier to see 1 egg, 2 eggs, 3
less
eggs.
Messy, too.
Yeah. But that just seems like the worst cooked form to try to eat eggs en masse.
I think all of those ways are the worst way to cook eggs and eat them en masse. Not interested. Mm-mm-mm-mm. Okay, HowStuffWorks.com said that in the 1967 movie Cool Hand Luke, Paul Newman's character, Cool Hand Luke Jackson, is challenged to eat 50 hard-boiled eggs in an hour. He is fully bet against by the other inmates in the prison that he's in. And gosh darn it, he does it. 50 eggs or 6 pounds in just under an hour. So they broke it down. Let's get this out of the way first. You can eat 50 eggs and you can do it in less than an hour. You probably shouldn't, but it's possible. Competitive eater Joey Chestnut holds the world record for eating hard-boiled eggs. Chestnut put Cool Hand Luke to shame, too, by devouring 141 eggs in 8 minutes in October 2013. But what happens to a non-competitive eating body if you shove it full of 50 eggs? Using the word shove is making me want to gag. 50 hard-boiled eggs, as we stated before, is about 6 pounds of eggs. A typical human stomach can actually hold all of those eggs, as demonstrated in an episode of The Food Network's Food Detectives. Of course, 50 eggs are also about 3,850 calories, so you'd feel pretty full afterwards. Your digestive system would certainly take a hit. First, you need to produce a lot of saliva to eat that many eggs, or you'll need a lot of water on hand. Then, once your stomach is stretched to its limits, your gastric glands will start secreting acids to break down the eggs. The acids move into the intestines slowly, so count on the eggs remaining in your system for a good 3.5 hours. Ugh. The ingested food will then hang out in your large intestine for about 36 hours. That means 36 hours of probable gastric distress, resulting in probably the worst hydrogen sulfide gas you've ever experienced, a.k.a. farts. Enjoy! Woo! So now that you have that in your mind, let's turn to our likes and dislikes, where we talked about... Singular. No, present. We talk. We,
Joy,
right now, we're talking.
Are you time traveling?
I don't know what you're talking about, because we're talking about our likes and dislikes, and it's your turn.
I liked Kristen Bell as Ingrid DeForest.
Yes.
I liked Ingrid literally comparing apples to oranges that are worth $700,000.
Yep.
I liked the little detail that Leslie finally gets a stand-up comedy win.
Yes.
I like Ron's general reaction to technology.
Yep.
I like the nicknames Butch Count City and the Some Dance Kid.
It's adorable.
And then I like Leslie's reaction face to the nicknames, yep, Butch Count City, mm-hmm, and the Some, mm-hmm, Dance Kid.
Mm-hmm.
I like this quote that April says to Anne. Is that where you're going to sit? Anne, I'm driving. Where else would I sit? April. Trunk.
What a schmuck. Oh, such a schmuck.
I like the word gauche, which we already defined before, even if I probably can't add it to my arsenal of words to use on the daily.
Well.
And I liked, I'm sure you noticed this, the very fancy file boxes that Eagleton's financial records are kept in. I mean.
So ridiculous.
They look like they came from the... what's Chip and Joanna Gaines' Target
Magnolia
line of? Yeah, they look like they came from that.
True.
I like Ron saying, food is for eating. Places are for being. End of discussion.
Yep.
I like this quote from Anne to April. So you go with Laura, who seems really nice and does not deserve to be tortured.
Yep.
I like Ben not wanting to do the how do you like them apples joke and Leslie insisting he doesn't know what it is.
How do you like them apples?
I like Ron wondering why everyone else is so bad at eating.
Such a beautiful little moment.
And then, of course, I like erase all pictures of Ron.
Erase all pictures of Ron.
I like this quote. Ingrid scoffs. That was in the subtitles.
Scoffs.
I have a PhD from the Sorbonne. Leslie, for what? Wearing Chanel suits? Ingrid, there was a fashion component, yes.
Oh.
I like the hilarious height and skill and age disparity between the Pawnee and Eagleton basketball teams.
Yep.
I like that no one bailed out pawn shop owner when he was arrested for arson.
Poor Mr. Lurpus. He's just had a rough life. Oh,
that made me laugh. I like Tom saying, ew, gross. It has buttons with buttons in quotes. Oh, man. Yep. And then I like Tom and Donna's appropriate levels of disgust for the cell phone belt clip.
It is appropriate, and it is disgust.
But kudos to Ron for going full dad. Not that I think it was much of a leap, but...
Right. Yeah.
Whew. So that's it for my likes. What did you like about this episode?
I love that Kristen Bell is here. I love how perturbed Ron is about getting a penny saver. And the small detail of their family having a single P.O. box and just like the magazine subscription stuff like sprinkled in. So funny. I love the whole story of April and Anne playing along with each other. It's adorable. Mm-hmm. The mix CD out the window. The is that where you're going to sit? Where else would I sit? The trunk. Of all the things April could come up with, she decided that Anne needs to play her 65-year-old grandmother. What? Okay. And then Meemaw, no one uses the word hip any. Now I'm going from yawning to burping. I'm so sorry. No one uses the word hip anymore. I love Ron's philosophy on life, that food is for eating, places are for being. End of discussion. I love how quickly Ron gets Donna and Tom on board with no grit, no grit, no grit. I love April's necessities for orientation, an empty Sprite can, an old man's fingernail in my pocket, and a picture of Patrick Ewing. Ewing? Ewing. Ewing. Why am I stuck on that? On a roller coaster. I like how ridiculously kind Laura is. I love the in-passing moment of Mr. Buttons. I love how Chris gets stuck on the word redonkulous because that reminds him of a ridiculous donkey. And then that makes me want to make sure all of you know about the book, The Wonky Donkey, and or that you have looked up the video of an Irish grandma reading The Wonky Donkey to her grandkid.
That sounds fantastic.
It is everything you could have hoped for and so much more. So there's that. I love Ron's eruption after Tom bringing up the JJ's pick. I love Ron's comment of why is everyone else so bad at eating? I love how simply April explains gut feelings to Anne and that Anne tried it on and it worked for her. I love that Chris Bosch is on the Eagleton team and that he's better at French horn too, Eric. I like Ron trying to buy an RV with a certain amount of gold and then Diane showing up. How did she know he was there?
Yeah.
Interesting. But like, I love how she brings him back. Where have you been? I've had a flat tire and I've been trying to get in touch with you for hours. You're a husband and a father now. You can't just roam the streets in an RV and be hard to find. I love you, but your solution to every problem is to live inside a mountain. Like, yeah, you call him out. You do it. I love that Ham and Mayonnaise Man wants to know why he should bail out Eagleton with his hard-earned money from his unemployment check. And then, you know, no one bailing out Harold Lurpus for getting arrested for arson. Ron's new phone and the belt clip.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh. Mid-likes, Leslie's mic drop. I love the on-pointness of the improv. And like, you know, if you ask them to change the oil, they ask extra virgin or white truffle. And then, you know, see you at the game unless you're an Eagletonian polishing your monocle at the caviar store. Nope out. I like the comedy part of it, but I'll get into this more with my dislikes. But it's still hard for me to watch in this. It doesn't seem like the right context. Mid-like, Tom's obsession with William Sonoma oven mitts. I looked them up and they look like normal oven mitts. So if you have some insight into this, please explain it to me. I am open for my opinion to be changed.
Someone help us understand.
Right. My last mid-like is lead-free pacifiers. Funny in a comedic context. Sad and terrifying in every other one.
Mm.
So there's that. What did you dislike?
Okay, go with me here. I had a little I don't know what to call it, conundrum or whatever. I don't like how the written sound
tisk tisk tisk
yes differs from the written tisk tisk tisk, like TSK TSK TSK, differs from the actual sound, that sound. It's
how would
said,
you write it out?
It said tisk 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 on the subtitles when Leslie's doing her PowerPoint presentation and make that sound. My problem is when I hear that sound audibly, I never see it in my head as tisk tisk tisk. And when I see tisk 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 written down, I always want to pronounce it as it's written.
Oh.
So that one just makes my mind into spaghetti. I don't know.
This is a big deal for you.
It is. I don't like it. I don't know how else I would write it. It's very hard to write out. I don't know what to call that, but if maybe listeners, if you have a better idea, let us know.
Yeah, that it's I hard. Don't feel
I can't confidently think of something that would be better, so I don't know.
I feel sad now.
Me too.
Well,
Anyway, even when Vine was a thing, I do not think anyone ever called the act of posting a Vine of themselves vining a selfie And I really hate that expression.
Yeah, because it would have to happen if they did. And they like, oh my gosh, I'm vining a selfie.
Yeah. And I don't know if you were ever on Vine, but I was on Vine when Vine was an app. And I feel like that is how someone would describe the act of posting a Vine who has never used Vine.
That's totally valid.
And then my next dislike is Leslie saying, I speak for all of us in all matters. That is what you tacitly agreed to when you married me.
That's
kind of a lot, especially because I just feel like she steamrolls Ben a lot in this episode. Right. And then my last dislike is April Ludgate Dwyer. You leave Guy Fieri alone. How dare you speak ill of that man? He is a national treasure, and he's actually a really nice and amazing dude. So I guess I ride pretty hard for Guy Fieri.
Apparently.
Have you ever seen like any interviews with him or any press around him or anything like that?
No.
He's got this really loud, crazy persona, but he actually does so much charity work, and he just really seems like one of the nicest, most genuine guys around who doesn't buy his own hype at all.
Good for him.
And I watched his episode of the show Hot Ones, which, if I recall correctly, was my first ever Be Nice recommendation.
I'm pretty sure you're correct, yes.
And it's just a great episode, and it gave me a whole new appreciation for Guy Fieri.
Nice.
And I also am kind of mad at myself now because I said his name 3 times. And the first time I pronounced it correctly, and the last time I pronounced it correctly, and the middle time I said Fieri. And
he is now offended.
I'm sorry, Guy. I'm sorry. Sorry.
Well, there it is.
So that's it for me. What did you dislike about this episode?
I don't like the black and whiteness of the hatred for Eagleton. In my later years, I've come to the belief that not everything is fully one way or the other. There's gray in between. There's good in between. And using a high school basketball game to make a point about the less than-ness of another city is really low, in my opinion. Do you have thoughts?
Honest question. Have you ever been to a high school basketball game?
Honest answer. Do I look like sports? Yes, I have.
Because I totally get what you're saying, and it's totally correct. However, high school basketball games honestly were kind of like that. The other team showed up, it was like they were enemies on your turf, or you were enemies on theirs.
Get it.
And there was this one time where our girls basketball team went to the state championships, which was really cool. They were a phenomenal team. The guys didn't make it to state that year, and there were a bunch of us who, because when you're from such a small town and sports are everything, the whole community gets involved. So a lot of people went to the state championship, including a bunch of us guys, and we decided that we were going to be the ultimate cheering section.
Nice.
So we painted our faces, we wore crazy outfits, we would chant and scream at the top of our lungs. I think I lost my voice on day 3 of the tournament.
Of course you did.
At one point, because typically at these games, the home team sits on one side, the home team fans sit on one side, and the away team fans sit on the other side, and you do not cross. Mm-hmm. We decided we were going to engage in some psychological warfare by all of us guys going over to the other team's section of the bleachers and doing our raucous cheering thing over there.
Oh.
And we were making such an impression that some of the officials came over and said, "You guys are a lot of fun, but can we ask you to move back over to your team's side of the bleachers?" And we just agreed and were really polite about it and immediately went right back over. And then they came over and thanked us after the fact.
And wow.
Said that was really cool of us. And the coaches of the girls basketball team that we were there to cheer for liked our team spirit so much that they bought us dinner at Outback Steakhouse.
Oh, come on now.
Oh, wait, I'm wrong. It was Golden Corral.
That's worse.
It was, but it was still free dinner. So,
well, congratulations.
Yeah, high school basketball games.
First of all, I don't sports. This is not a surprise. I was literally on the phone today with my friend Adrian, who currently lives in England, has history and family in South Africa. And we were talking about how bizarre the American obsession with sports is.
Mm.
I don't get it. Like, it is not something I care about in the least. The moment you force me to have team spirit for something is the moment I turn into April and I stare holes into your soul.
Trunk.
Now. Go. So yeah, I don't care about team spirit. I care about making you food and having you sit at my table and tell me stories. But sports? Mm-mm.
No. Yeah, especially after high school, I just kind of didn't see the point very much anymore. Certainly not of being invested to the degree that many people are.
Yes, absolutely. My next dislike is that Pawnee's apples look like Red Delicious apples, which are a lie. They're like skim milk. It's basically water. Blah. No. And really, like Swarovski crystal fruits? Really? 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 Ugh. I don't like how connected Tom and Donna are to the grid, but I can also realize that this is my opinion is a reflection of how I have chosen to interact with the grid. They made the decision. I choose to make another. And that's okay. Tipping in euros. Really? So gauche. Leslie turns immediately to, this is going to hand me the recall election.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like that because there's no empathy for the personhood of the people over the line in Eagleton. But I do like how Ben did appeal to her empathy and be like, mm-hmm. Leslie, people are going to lose their jobs.
Yeah. And like, I think this kind of ties back to what I pointed out last time about how I think for her character, Leslie needed to be recalled.
Right.
Because she had lost perspective and had developed resentment for the people she's supposed to be serving.
Right.
I think this kind of plays into that. And I think maybe Ben's moment of helping her see, hey, they're actually human beings and they're in trouble, is part of the shift that was needed for her character.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with that fully. My next dislike is Leslie's PowerPoint presentation. Utterly unprofessional and unnecessary. Necessary from a comedy perspective, sure. Real life, can't. Just literally can't. Fire you on the spot. I'm also not sure how a 50,000 bridge loan would help Eagleton if they're in as much red as it sounds like they are.
That's like a small leaf of a Swarovski orange.
Right. Like, that wouldn't even cover part of payroll, I don't think, to keep things going. Anyway, and my last dislike is Anne and Chris moving. Mm. Like, this is the beginning of that process.
It is.
And I remember feeling very sad about that. And now I'm starting to feel sad all over again. So let's turn our attention to the coronation of the beautiful rule-breaking moth, the segment in which we choose a specific thing that was the breakout star of the episode. Joe?
I really enjoyed Chris just kind of being a zen deliverer of jokes and funny lines in this episode.
Yeah.
That's kind of all he does. He just floats from scene to scene. Ridiculous. And I enjoyed that a lot.
Good. Good. I enjoyed the Ron getting off the grid story, mostly because I knew the punchline was coming of erase all pictures of Ron. Erase all pictures of Ron. Like, that's one of the memories that I, or the moments that I remember. So for it to be here made me really happy.
I do love that line.
And now
it's time
for the Jerry. All right, show where we shame one particular thing for bringing the episode down or being unnecessarily annoying. Joe, who or what is your Jerry?
Mine is actually the B story of Ron getting off the grid.
Oh, this is interesting. Tell me why.
So it definitely gives us a few classic moments like erase all pictures of Ron,
right,
which I absolutely love, and the JJ's Diner Wall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
Why is everyone else so bad at eating? But the B story of Ron getting off the grid is also where most of the product placement is concentrated.
Mm.
And so every time we cut back to that storyline, I just feel like I'm getting Surface tablets shoved in my face.
That makes a lot of sense.
And in the end, it feels a little strange where Ron winds up at the end of this arc. It feels a little out of character for me mm. that he wouldn't think about his wife or new kids at all in this process.
Mm.
And Diane's line that his solution to everything is to live inside of a mountain is a little out of nowhere because we've never had that established before. We've never heard him mention it.
Interesting. Yeah.
So to me, like a cabin more off the grid and further into the woods, sure, yeah, yeah, no trouble believing that. But inside of a mountain seems a little more doomsday prepper and a little less like rugged man of the woods, Ron Swanson.
Yeah, that's very astute. So yeah, I see where you're coming from.
I just found that a little bit jarring, especially because earlier in the establishing of Diane as a character and the development of their romance, he kind of already has learned the lesson of, no, you have to think about being a father and being a family man too with the trick-or-treating episode.
Right.
So it kind of seems like he's learning that lesson again, which doesn't necessarily feel true to the character. So it was just a little
Yeah. Good call. Good call.
In conclusion, But I do absolutely love Erase All Pictures of Ron.
Erase All Pictures of Ron.
So that's my Jerry. Who or what is your Jerry?
I cannot get past the extremes that Leslie goes to rub the financial crisis in Eagleton's face. And then on top of that, just like the speaking for everyone part. Like, no, I can't. I just can't.
And now it's time for the awarding of the Little Sebastians, the ceremony in which we rate each episode against the entire catalog of Parks and Recreation episodes by awarding it between 1 and 5 Little Sebastians. Joy!
Me?
How many Little Sebastians would you rate the Pawnee Eagleton Tip-Off Classic?
3. Not my favorite. Not horrible. Eh. In conclusion,
In conclusion, yeah, congratulations on your various accolades.
Not marketing brilliant.
Nope. Achievement unlocked.
Nope, none. None level up. Level down. You have had some of your equipment stolen from you.
Achievement relocked.
Oh, go to jail. Do not pass. Go. Your turn.
I also rated this episode a 3.
Yep.
And I think without the heavy product placement and the way Ron's B story was handled, it might have been a 4 because there were some really funny moments in this episode.
Yeah.
But those just kind of kept me down at a 3.
And with that, it's a breakfast burrito. Head out into the middle of the river, everybody.
First of all, I just love that. Head out into the middle of the river. It's a breakfast burrito. Now. And also the river in question is a tiny stream that's like a foot wide.
It's fine, okay? I was just trying. We must give some point efforts.
We must ford the river to find the burrito.
You were not able to ford the river. One of your oxen drowned.
Oh, no.
Drowned of dysentery.
We could get scurvy or worse. Those were some Oregon Trail jokes for anyone of you who weren't blessed to play Oregon Trail in your youth.
You were not able to carry all of it back to your wagon.
We don't really need to find John Ralphio because he's kind of in this episode.
Yep.
It's stated that he loves Ron's shirt.
Yep.
So he was reacting to Tom's picture of Ron.
Yeah, absolutely. I count
that. So what do you want to karate chop this week?
I want to karate chop not having a fairy that brings me coffee at my whim.
A fairy?
Yeah. Like, how great would it be to just be like, I wish I had some coffee right now. Bing. Ah, here's my Yeti mug. Oh, it's so nice. Thank you, Coffee Fairy. You've saved me. And then everybody's like, Coffee Fairy, Coffee Fairy. And
I am really glad that you are not devious, because you could have pranked me into oblivion right there, and I would have just deceased on the spot.
What do you mean?
If you had conspired with someone in your house and done this whole thing and said, I really wish I had a coffee fairy when I, you know, when I said, like, I'd like a coffee right now, and being, and then that someone had just handed
hand
you coffee
enters
from off frame, I would have collapsed. Heart would have just given out.
It would have been extra bonus if I would have coordinated with somebody in your household to suddenly show up and bring you coffee. I should text Crystal right now. Hold on. BRB. Raylan, help me out here, buddy.
I was
going
to say, Crystal's not here right now, so it would literally just be getting tackled by a small cattle dog and coffee splashing everywhere.
But they brought you coffee, so effort given.
Technically correct, yes.
What are you going to cry, Joe?
So I accidentally wound up on custom keyboard Reddit this week, and I don't even know how.
That's a thing?
It is a thing. Be careful with that information, because there are some beautiful custom keyboards, and now I'm angry that I don't have a beautiful custom keyboard with a coiled cord and a mini Bulbasaur as the escape key.
I am looking at it, and I don't understand the appeal. It looks like an old school, like, Windows 98 keyboard, except it's purple.
It's got a vibe, and I really like the Bulbasaur.
I like to vibe alone.
Just vibe alone with my keyboard.
Great. Well,
so yeah, be nicing who you
say words. Marketing brilliant. Even if it's cold, take some time to get outside and walk slow enough to notice what's around you. And also, thinking back, take some time. Hit pause on this episode right now. Go to YouTube and look up Wonky Donkey,
yes,
Irish Grandmother. You will thank me.
Yes.
And then come back. Go to our Facebook group and tell me how much you love the Wonky Donkey. And please order it for your friends and family.
Yeah. Are there potential bonus points to be awarded if you listen to the Irish grandma reading the Wonky Donkey while you are taking some time to get outside and walking slowly and observing nature?
Yes, but how are you going to prove that? You have to somehow prove it to me, and then I will give you points.
Okay, deal.
Great, good talk. Who are you going to be nice to?
Sorry, I had this mental image of me, like, walking the hillsides like Ron from the last episode with a voiceover of the grandma reading as I herd sheep and contemplate from the side of a cliff.
Okay, wait, let me share my audio for a hot second.
Oh boy.
Share advanced computer audio share. Let me just find my
the
favorite.
The Wonky Donkey. I was walking down the road and I saw a donkey, a bee.
Okay, I'm going to skip ahead.
Oh, the other one. Three legs, one eye. He liked to listen to country music. He's quite tall and slim. And he smelled really, really bad. Oh dear. He's a stinky dinky lanky honky donkey winky wonky donkey.
So there you go. If that's not enough to entice you. You gotta do it. He's a wonky donkey.
I was not ready for the country music.
I just put the link in the show notes, so enjoy that. Enjoy that.
Oh my goodness. Wow.
Yep.
Joy.
You're welcome.
Take us to the outro, I guess.
No, you haven't said what you're going to
like
yet.
I got totally derailed by that.
It's funny because it's one of those books that it builds every page. So then, yeah, he likes to listen to country music, so he's a honky-tonky. He only has one eye, so he's a winky. And he only has three legs, so he's a winky-wonky donkey.
Oh, my goodness.
Anyway. You okay, buddy?
Yes, I think so.
Okay, maybe I'll send this book to your house.
This week, I am going to be nice to myself and remind myself that I am enough. And I don't need a beautiful custom keyboard with a coiled cord and a mini Bulbasaur as the escape key.
You are so funny. Wow. Okay, give me a keyword, Joe.
It's gotta be donkey.
Well, you done me, and I bet that I felt it. I tried to be chill, but the donkey's so hot that it melted. It fell right through the cracks, and so I'm trying to get it back. But it is a full-size donkey, and I don't know how to get a full-size donkey out of the cracks. So I'm gonna ask for help, but I won't hesitate no more, no more. I can't wait. The donkey is stuck in the crack. Next word, please.
Swarovski.
You schmuck! And my ear just went behind my head.
Okay. Oh, that's the worst.
Well, we're gonna give you some apples if you win. Just kidding, our prize is better. Do you know what they are? They're Swarovski crystals. They cost a cool $700 million in pounds and euros and even in reals, because they're so fancy. But you won't win because we stacked our team. You're gonna get dunked by Chris Bosh. You know what? Here's a thing. I'm better at French horn than you.
Eric.
Sucks to be you, Eric. Da 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 da. One more verse. Give me another word.
Dr. Buttons.
Dr. Buttons. You done so well, you been my friend from audit to audit. And we're back. Count Butch and the Sum Dance Kid. Isn't that right? No, Butch Counts
it. It is now.
Well,
Count Butch. Count Butch.
Well,
Dracula's odd cousin. Count Butch.
He's from the South.
Count Butch. Like, instead of blood, he drinks barbecue sauce.
I'm not dying. You're dying. But we will count again. Once more, the team is back towards Eagle 10. Why do you have pools filled with bottled water? This seems excessive. Da 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 da. Take it.
Thank you, everyone, for hanging out with us. I will recover, I think. Oh, my goodness. Thank you so much for listening to us, for making us a part of your week. If you would like more Parks and Rewatch in your life, you can follow us on Instagram at Rewatch Parks. You can join the official Parks and Rewatch fan club on Facebook. And if you'd like to support the show, you can head on over to patreon.com/parksandrewatch. And if you sign up to be a patron at the Pawnee Goddess or Swanson Tears, you get instant access to The Hucking Booths, which is our after show exclusively for patrons. If you are enjoying the show, it would mean the world to us. Oh, you can also email us. I was doing so good. You can send us an email at rewatchparks@gmail.com. And if you are enjoying our show, it would mean the world to us if you would leave us a 5-star rating and a review on Apple Podcasts. And also, you can rate us on Spotify.
What do we say? Gosh.
Oh, dang it. I was trying so hard, and all I could think of was the Irish grandma reading the Wonky Donkey. It's in my brain now.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Bye. Bye, everyone.
Bye.